because we're going to be talking about a lot of things that that song talked about today as we talk about having a prosperous soul. In fact, developing a soul that is in alignment with Jesus. And so we're going to really build on that. But that song talked about the storms. And I just had a sense that some people are carrying a burden today. We got all the stuff going on from October 7 with Israel and then the things that happened last night in the U.S. I want to read you a verse that the Lord gave me in the early morning hours yesterday. And some of you probably saw it on Facebook. But I want to read you from the New Living Translation this verse. And it's one we can declare over Israel, but also we can declare it over ourselves. It's in Psalm 140, verse 3, and I'm going to read you the New Living Translation. O Lord, keep me. I'm just going to stop there. I've been teaching in another venue on being kept by the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, we're kept by His power, Peter tells us. But it goes on and says, O Lord, keep me out of the hands of the wicked. Protect me from those who are violent. And isn't that what we're seeing? Just violence arise? For they are plotting against me. And I just want to say to you, we don't need to be surprised. Jesus warned us of what's going to happen in these times. He instructed us not so that we could react in fear, but so we could react knowing we're kept by Him. But this word violent, I'm going to read you that word in the how it sounds in the Hebrew, or what it is in the Hebrew. O Lord, keep me out of the hands of the wicked. Protect me from those who are Hamas. The word Hamas in the Hebrew language is the word for violence. Violent and violence. So let me give you a couple more then, because I just want you to see that He is keeping us, even though all this violence is going around us. And again, these two are things we can describe over and declare over Israel. 2 Samuel 22, the third verse says, My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, thou dost save me from violence. And again, that word violence is the word Hamas. In the 49th verse of that same chapter, the same word is used for violence. Talking about the Lord, it says, who also brings me out from my enemies. Now, I don't look at the things going on with the people in the Gaza Strip, the Philistines or the Palestinians or Hamas even, as we call them. But we have an evil who is after our soul. And that is a real battle. And we'll be sharing about that probably a couple of months from now in December. But listen to what this says. He who brings me out from my enemies, thou dost even lift me above those who rise up against me. You do rescue me from the violent men. Again, Hamas. So we have three verses that really tie into what they're experiencing in Israel that we can declare over ourselves for that violence that is coming against our nation, against Israel, God's people. And to be candid, the devil is going to begin to try to have an all-out war against us. But what do we know? We are kept by the power of God through faith, and we can overcome it. So I'm going to be talking this morning about continuing on developing a prosperous soul, and today's is entitled, My Soul Aligned with Jesus. But before I review what we talked about, it's been 4 weeks now, the first in this short series of four, I just want to tell you that what we're going to be sharing today ties in directly with what Pastor Trey taught last week from Proverbs 4 about the Word and what it does for us of what? It keeps us healthy. We can live in that continual health. And I want to say to you that a prosperous soul is required if we're going to walk in that continuous health, and we can do it. You know, I've often said I believe it's easier to stay healthy than it is to get healthy when we get attacked. And again, that's right along with what Pastor Trey talked about. And so I just am so thankful that the Holy Spirit is just teaching us things in streams today. That was one of the things that Pastor Trey and I talked about a few months ago, was believing that the Lord would line up what we're teaching on Sunday morning so that it just fits together. And let me give you a scripture that shows that. Mary, if you'll pull up Proverbs 18:14. Again, the same Holy Spirit putting these things in our heart to share with you. So I think there's something that we all need in this. This is from the Amplified Bible, and it says, "The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble." It helps us walk through that. "But a weak or broken spirit, who can rise up and bear," or raise up and bear? And so we see from this that the Lord wants us to have a strong spirit. Now, I believe when it's talking about a spirit, a lot of times in the Old Testament, it is combining their spirit man, which they did not really know much of, and their soulish realm. What does Hebrews tell us? That those two are so tightly put together that it's only the Word of God that can separate them. So again, I think this tells us that the strong soul that we have, which is in alignment with our born-again new spirit, then this is going to bring us strength to overcome things before they get us down. And that's how we can live in health. So let's go back to 3 John 2, and I'll do a quick review of a few verses that we talked about the last time I taught. "Beloved," and everybody in here ought to raise their hand and say, "That's me." And if you can't do that, you need to do that so that all these other things will apply. It says, "I pray in all respects," or "I wish or desire in all respects." In other words, at the top of my list for you. Now, this is written to believers, so it's not talking about salvation. It's talking about those of us who have already received His salvation. "I pray that in all respects you may prosper." Two words there, travel a road, and it literally means that you travel or journey well, that you prosper in your travels. And I believe that's talking about every area of our life. "So I believe that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health." So this is Healing School, and this is what we've been focused on. And how often do we just put a period there and go on? But it says, "just as." A better rendition would be, "in proportion to your soul prospering." So this says to me, my health is directly related to how my soul is prospering. Now, what do we know? We know from the natural world that we live in, anxiety, worry, fretting, all those kind of things has an impact on our health. So it's easy to see how far this scripture is. But think about this. At the top of His list for you and I, the Lord's list for you and I, traveling well, prospering in everything we're doing, and be in good health, that's at the top of His list. So that says to me, be in health, and this is why I say it's the same as Trey was talking about, staying in health. That's what this verse is talking about. Overcoming those things that come against us so that we can walk through and stay in the good health that Jesus purchased for us. But we do it in proportion to how our soul is prospering. And I think the warning for us here a lot of times is we get to thinking about so much, I want to be healthy, and confess health, confess health, confess health. But you're going to see today, most important thing is developing and enhancing that relationship, seeking Him, seeking the healer, not just healing. And we'll see that talked about today. So we looked at what the first element of a prosperous soul was, and we got a clue from 3 John and the verses around 3 John 2, because we saw the word truth come up four or five times in those first four or five verses. And so what we saw is that knowing and thinking correctly about God's will for us, in other words, having that truth planted in me, is a prerequisite for us to be in health and stay in health. Now, don't have any condemnation in this if you've been sick. I've been attacked with some stuff lately. Because the Lord is merciful and He will bring us healing even when our soul is not perfectly prospering. And that's just His mercy. So I'm talking about when we're healthy and how do we stay there. But today we're also going to get into how do we get out of it if we find ourselves not being in health and our soul not prospering. So the first step we looked at was Romans 12, 1 and 2. And what? In developing our spirit, our whole body, and the rest, the whole body, the whole part there, to do what? To have our mind renewed, to begin to think like Jesus thinks. And the only way I believe we can start that is not just by simply reading the Bible, but it's by reading it, seeking a relationship with Him, and having Him reveal through His Word. And He and the Word are one, as we know. Now, what I believe is that as we mature and as we grow, then His ways, His nature, will become my nature. I'll begin to think like He does. I'll begin to speak like He does. I'll begin to do the things that He did and that He's told us to do. We might say that that state is living in an abundance of the fruit of the Spirit, or I could even say it's just partaking of His divine nature. And that's what 2 Peter 1, and I want you to see this on the screen with me again today, 2 Peter 1. Seeing that His divine power, so His power, His grace, all the ability of God available for you, His divine power has granted to us, and here's the phrase I want you just to ponder, everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now, I could just be quiet for a few moments and say, just let that sink in. He has granted that to you and I through His power, through the cross and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. But how does it come to us? Through the true knowledge of Him, through understanding who we are in Jesus so that we can identify fully with Him. And it goes on to say, He's called us by His own glory and excellence. Verse 4, for by these He has granted us precious and magnificent promises. I would say He's granted us His covenant promises, precious and magnificent, so that by them I may become partakers of His divine nature. That's part of His will. And you're going to see that's why developing a prosperous soul is so, so very important. And then that will help us, what? We've already escaped the corruption of this world by being born again. But then we can begin to rise up and live as we were singing in that worship song, above the storm. We don't have to be under it. We can live above it, overcoming. Now, we closed last week by looking at the first chapter of Mark, verses 40 through 45, the leper who came to Jesus. And he came to Jesus, obviously with leprosy. He came with great boldness. He humbled himself as he knelt before him. And he said, I know you can heal me if you will. He had hope. But faith begins where the will of God is known. And I don't think he was assured until Jesus spoke and said, why, of course I will. And then what did we see? He laid his hand upon him and he touched him. Now, you didn't touch a leper because you would be. But in this case, Jesus is touching a leper and his nature is flowing into him. And that's what happens with you and I. As we seek him, seek his face, let the word begin to work. For it's only by that word that we'll be changed. We want to set our anchor in Jesus for who he is, not just for he's our healer. And when we do that, the healing will come. You know, when you have a boat that's tied up in a harbor, they anchor it to the bow so it can move and do what? Face the storm. And that's what we need to do. We don't need to fear it. We don't need to be scared and run away. We can stand up with the knowledge we have of who our inside man has become, with our soul aligned with that. And we've got our spirit man and our soul working together. That's two against one, and our flesh doesn't stand a chance. It's going to have to yield to what the Lord's word is. So, two areas that I want to really get into today, and we'll pick it up from 1 John again, of soul prosperity, that I believe are essential for us to walk with a prosperous soul, is concerning my will, in my emotions. And that's really what we are thinking. It's how we're living life in our hearts. Vine's dictionary of the Greek words defines soul like this. It says, it's the seat of intellect and the seat of sentiment, of the sentiment element in man. That by which, and listen to these words, we perceive, we reflect, we feel, we desire. It goes on to say, basically the soul is that place that houses our will and our emotion as well as our intellect, that thinking part of us. So let's go back to 3 John and start with verse 1, Miss Mary. And let's look at the other verses, the first six there, and let's see if we can pick up some other things that may give us a hint to what a prosperous soul looks like. Now, the reason I say this is I am convinced John had a prosperous soul. They couldn't kill him. They even tried to boil him in oil. And then they shipped him off to Patmos because he still had more to revelation to bring from the Lord to give you and I. So I'm just convinced his soul prospers. So things that he writes, I believe, will give us clues about what a prosperous soul is. To the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. So I just want to start with, love is a key element. Knowing the love and giving the love of having a prosperous soul. Verse 2, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So beloved, again, is that love. And then look at what he said, for I was very glad, we might say, for I had great joy when the brethren came and testified to your truth and how you are walking or living life in truth. So we pick up one other comment there. I was very glad or had joy. So I believe that's an element of it. Verse 4 reinforces that. He says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children living life, I will say, in the truth. Verse 5, beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. And then verse 6, and they have testified to your love. So we started with love, we've seen truth, we've seen joy, and we're right back at ending up with love. So I want to submit to you that love and truth are two key things. Love and joy are two key elements of it, but it must start with truth. And we see that in a verse Pastor Trey used last week when he quoted James 1:21. And he talked about putting aside all filthiness and superfluity of wickedness, I believe is the way it reads. So anyway, let me read you a translation that we can understand. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted. Now, I also want to just note right now, receive how? In humility. I want you to keep that in your heart as we go on today. The word implanted. King James says it's engrafted, which I like even better because that says it's put together as one. So that word is put together in my heart as one with him. And then look what it's able to do, which is able to save your soul. Which is able to save your soul. To make it well. To restore it. To heal it. Those are all things that the word sozo means. Now, when we go through some of these verses today, you may be tempted to say, well, I know that. Don't do that. That's pride sticking its head up, and it's also a sign that you're probably going to miss whatever revelation the Lord wants to give us there. So keep an open heart, because a lot of these are going to be very familiar to you and I. So, love and joy. Now, think about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. What does it start with? Love. Plus, what's second? Joy. And what's third? Peace. So for me, it's like John is giving us with Galatians and what Paul wrote, an equation that says love plus joy equals peace. And I think that's more true than we realize. Romans 14:17 talks about the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's what? righteousness, which is being made righteous because of his love for us. And then it says peace and joy. So in essence, we see that again. I am convinced that those are the characteristics, or two strong characteristics, of a soul that is prosperous. And then I want to talk about the two elements that I believe are included in those words. The first is that my will is rightly aligned with God's will for me. That my will is rightly aligned with his will. And I'm going to tell you, when you're knowingly walking out of his will, you're not going to have that peace. The second thing related to this that I want to comment on is that this comes only through relationship. By having that divine nature that I have created in his image in me. And again, I will say it gets back to I constantly am seeking him. And since we're in healing school, I'll say it this time and probably once more. We don't need to come to healing school just seeking a healing. We need to come to healing school seeking Jesus, who is our healer. And then we are coming in a rest and a peace for him to let our faith work. The second thing there is our emotions. Love, joy, and peace. Each one of those really creates or involves an emotion that we have. And when we do that, you find yourself in a place of rest. Now, I taught for 6 weeks earlier, latter part of the summer, early fall, on rest. So we're only going to talk about it a very little bit. But, in fact, in a moment, I will give you a definition of it. But think about being in this rest. Healing flows there. And you really can't separate it from peace. You could look at Isaiah 32:17 as an example of that. So, I'm convinced that unless we're walking with a will rightly divined, aligned with God's divine will for me and emotions, that we're not going to have a prosperous soul, which leads us to a place of continual health. Just like we saw in Proverbs 4, around starting at verse 20 last week. And if you didn't hear it, then you need to go back and listen to that, and you'll see how these two things tie so well together. And as we saw with Proverbs, if we don't have a prosperous soul, I think we're going to have a tough time trying to live in that continual health. Now, let me just stop and pause and say, think about how we receive from the Lord. How we receive from the Lord. Everything we receive comes through our spirit, through our soul, and manifests in our flesh. Everything we receive from him, that's the way we receive. So, the first time I ever taught this, which has been 6 or 7 years ago, 5 probably was the last time, but before that, I asked the Lord, give me some examples and teach me how a soul that's not prospering hinders receiving from you. In other words, it clogs up that connection between my soul and my spirit. It doesn't allow the free-flowing health that my spirit has in it to come to me. And he gave me 2 things, and I'm sure there's more. So these are examples of what I consider to be an unprosperous soul. And the first one is a mind which is unrenewed and has little knowledge of God's will for you. Now, the reason I say that is because when we don't know God's will, we're not going to be able to have that peace and that joy that we see. And it'll even hinder our love walk with him greatly too. Hosea 4:6 says what? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, or a good way to say it would be a lack of revelation about Jesus. The other thing that happens when we are like that is we may get a glimpse of revelation, and let's just say of healing, but because it really has not got cemented, it's there for the things that Jesus talked about in the parable of the sower, for the weeds to grow and the birds to come to try to pick it up and other things. And when we get that way, then it's easy for us to waver between two things or two beliefs, I'll say. And I want to use this example versus doubting, which I believe you can receive from God with thoughts of doubt rolling around in your head. But you can do it because your heart and soul have a degree of alignment with them. And this is talking about, though, of in James 1:8 of being what? 7 and 8, really, double-minded, where it says a man who is double-minded don't expect to receive from God. And that's because, and I have found myself in this. Fortunately, it's not as frequently today as it was years ago. Lord, I believe you. I receive that. And all of a sudden, after I'm thinking and letting reason take over in my mind, I come up with reasons why I walk over here and my heart and my soul are not in agreement any longer. And I say, you know, I just don't know if I can believe that today. And that's that wavering, tossed to and fro, duo, double. And that is going to, it's just different beliefs on two ends of the spectrum. And that's going to keep us, what? It's going to keep my soul and my spirit clogged up so that everything can't flow up through that spirit man. The second thing that he gave me was what I would term a negative or a worldly focus with an inability to control our thoughts and our emotions. In other words, our mind just continually is running wild. And when we are that way, what's going to be the impact? Here's four or five attributes he gave me of that. We become defensive. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with anything? When you are defensive, you're not going to be able to be taught and corrected of the Lord. Second thing you'll happen is you'll get fearful. You'll get angry at your spouse, at your relatives, at your friends, at God. Man. And then what we see is my flesh is beginning to control my thoughts, and I'm dominated by it. Bitterness is another one that rises up, and these are just a few. Those are things that we need to walk out of. So let's talk about how do we get this soul to prosper so that we're not languishing in those kind of things, but that we're really in that rest with love and joy and peace just springing up and arising from us. So go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and we're going to read the first three verses. We'll get to the third one eventually. But it starts out saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, may I say that if we say, the Lord is my shepherd, then I am submitting myself to my shepherd. A sheep, in order to have a shepherd, must follow him. And they can start following him without being perfected yet, without being confident of everything he's going to do for them. But what does a good shepherd do? A good shepherd would go out, scout out the land, know where he could take the sheep from the highlands down to the lowlands where there would be that grassy pasture and what? The still waters. And thus it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall have no lack. I lack no thing. Now, let me just remind you, in both the Greek and the Hebrew. In Hebrew, it's the word D-A-B-A-R. No thing literally means no word. So where is it taking us back to? The truth. So I lack nothing. I lack no word, no truth. And the word will produce in me. David Ingalls, those of you who are 10 years younger than I'm above 70, won't remember him. But he had a song that I first heard probably in 1976, which says, the word is working mightily in me. That's a profession we need to make over ourselves. So, the Lord is my shepherd. I have no lack. I lack no thing. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, when I say green pastures, what descriptor comes up in your mind? The first thing that popped in mind was peaceful, a place to lay down and rest, a place to worry none, that I'm going to get attacked. Because for an animal, what's the most vulnerable position? Laying down. So that just encompasses all the thing the Lord wants to do with us. It's also a place in those green pastures where the sheep were not going to go eat plants that were in the promised land in Canaan that would be poisonous to them. So it's protecting their health as well. And then it says, He leads me beside still waters. Now every time I hear the word waters, I think about the rivers flowing out of the temple in the book of Ezekiel 47. And these are quiet waters. They're still. But it's still the Spirit of God. And that attitude of rest then comes upon us. So lying down in green pastures, being led beside still waters, and we have to submit to that leading, puts us in a position of peace and rest because we know our Good Shepherd cares about us. And I would submit to you, that's a time when joy ought to be abounding in our heart. Then we get to verse 3, and it says, He restores my soul. He puts my soul back together in the nature that He wants it. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So we see here that our soul is restored, or I might say saved, like the verse we saw in the New Testament. And a soul that is saved is one that is totally submitted. In other words, we humble ourselves to Him and to His Word. And you cannot separate that. You cannot tell me I love Jesus and say, but I just don't love the Word. You can't separate them. They are just inextricably put together. So this leads me to begin to ask a question. Then, if I'm not in this, what is the issue? And I would say to you that for every one of us in here today, there is some area that we have probably not opened up our whole being, our whole life, and given to Him. Now, I can almost hear you saying, what does that have to do with anything? You know, in Romans 12:2, where it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The word bodies there is actually not what it's saying in the Greek language. In the Greek language, the word is S-O-M-A, which is derived from sozo, which I find interesting. So it's talking about something that has received life. And it literally means the whole. So we are to do what? Offer our whole being, spirit, soul, and this flesh as a living sacrifice. And that just paints a little different picture. That says to me, I can offer 80% of it or I can offer 90%, but there's some things I'm holding back on. And that shouldn't surprise us that we do that because we do it with each other. BJ and I have been married 50-something years now. Two? Yeah. A long time. I can't remember when we weren't. And that's a good thing. But there are things that we continue to learn about each other day to day because some things we just hide deep in our heart. And so we do that not only with the Lord, but we do it with each other. Look at Revelations 3:20. Now, I dare say that every one of you have heard this verse talked about and used to ask people to come to the Lord. Behold, what does Pastor Trey say about this? Pay attention to it. Take a look at this now. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will dine with him and he with me. But I want you to think about this first. Who is being addressed here by the Lord in this verse? It's one of the churches. It's believers. So he's saying to believers, to all of us, I stand at the door and knock. Now, if he's dwelling in my heart, in my spirit, man, but he's still saying I'm standing at that door and knocking, what is he knocking to get into? the whole being. He's in my heart. But he wants to be able to not only knock, he wants to get out of just having an impact in my heart, but he wants to have that impact in my whole being. Look at what it says. He hears my voice, and if we open the door, he says, I will come into him. And he's already in our spirit. So I believe he's saying, I'm going to take over your whole being. I'm going to get your mind renewed. I'm going to get your will aligned. I'm going to have your emotions line up with my emotions. And then we're going to dine together and live together. He with me and me with him. That's opening up ourselves, I believe, to all that the Lord has. And that's when a soul, I think, is really prospering. So again, that soul tends to be a private place for us. But we need to open up all these areas of our lives. And I'll say it one more time. Every one of us in here has some of that. Now, why is this important? Look at 1 Timothy, the first chapter, the 12th verse. Did I give you the wrong one? Let me look at it, Mary. Because I think I did. I did. It's 2 Timothy, first chapter. So I'll read it to you. Sorry. For this reason, I also suffer these things. This is what Paul is writing, but we can all identify with that because we've been told we're going to be persecuted for the word's sake. But he says, I'm not ashamed. And then he says this, for I know whom I have believed. He doesn't say, I know what I have believed. He says, I know whom I have believed. Now, does that imply relationship? Absolutely. Because it's only by knowing a person can you ever get to a point where you trust him. And then it says, and I am convinced. Mary, you're on your way to pull that up. Are you trying? If you would try, because I really want them to see these scripture, this scripture. He goes on and talks about, for I'm convinced, I'm absolutely certain, I know this is the case, that he is able to keep or to guard. Now, we started off talking about being kept by the power. That's what we have. And we're saying, I'm absolutely convinced that he's able to keep or to guard that which I have committed to him. Now, just ponder that just a second. I know he's able to keep that which I have committed to him, that which I have entrusted to him, that which I have given to him. So what about those little secret places in our heart that we haven't turned over to him? Is he able to guard? Is he able to keep? If I'm going to hold on to it, thinking what? I can handle this. And I would submit to you, that's one of the things we sometimes end up with regarding healing, when we seek healing and not the healer. There are things that we hold on to that I believe will impact us in having a sound mind as well as receiving our healing as we want to. So what do we do? Well, let's just look at a couple of verses. This one we looked at when we talked about rest, but we'll do it again. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, Selah. Come to me. And who's supposed to come to him? All who are weary and heavy laden. Okay, stop there. Does that sound like people who maybe are carrying some things, anxiety, worry, even things that are attacking their body, making them sick? I mean, those things will weigh you down so big. So he's talking about things that can impact our emotion. Somebody who is weary and heavy laden probably doesn't feel a great deal of joy. And they may even be questioning me, God, don't you really love me? This is what we're supposed to come to him with. And what is his promise? I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, let me just stop here. My belief, you have to let the Lord show you if you want to, if you don't believe this way. My belief is that when Jesus said this, he's not just telling us be yoked to him, which we are, but be yoked to the one he was yoked with, which was what? Or which is whom? The Holy Spirit. Now, if we're yoked with the Holy Spirit, yes, we're yoked with Jesus. But how did Jesus live on this earth? Not of himself, but he lived by the Holy Spirit, showing him what to do, just like you and I. So I think he's telling us to be yoked with him, with the Holy Spirit. And then he says, and learn from me. And when two oxen are yoked together, they put an old one with a young one. What were they trying to do? Let the old one teach the young one how to do it. So that's how we're learning, by the Holy Spirit teaching us what Jesus already knows and what he's doing for us. And then he says, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Now, what characteristics did we see earlier of the man, the leper, who came to him? He came to him humbly. Jesus wants us to have these same attributes in our lives as well. In other words, no pride. Because pride can cause a number of things. He wants us, and isn't it interesting? He said, I want you to come here and experience this, my gentleness and my humility. He didn't say, I want you to come and experience my power right off the bat. I want you to learn who I am so that you can be partakers of my nature, of my divine nature. And then he says, and once you've done that, my paraphrase, you'll find rest for your souls. So you see the precedent for what we need to do before that result comes. Verse 30, he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, why can he say that? For you and I, it's because he's already accomplished everything. It is done. The work is done, and so we don't have to do the works except the work of faith, which is to believe. And we don't want to let our faith become works, because then pride will enter into it again. So the first thing we've got to do is to be trained and instructed in his ways and his will. Being led would be a good way to say it. Can I just tell you that for you to be trained well and for you to be led well, you must receive correction well. That is not a popular thing to do. I mean, with kids, in other relationships, somebody offers a correction, we bow our back and get angry. We cannot do that with him, because his desire for us is best. Now, one problem we enter into, and I'm just going to cover this real quickly because I want to move on to rest. One of the things we do without being led is undertake too many things when he didn't tell us to. And I'm not saying they're bad things. I have a son who's a pastor. And too many times when I call him, he says, I'm just very tired, Dad. And my question to him every time is, what are you doing that the Lord didn't tell you to do? Because that will wear you out, because there's no grace for it. So just be open to corrections. The second thing that we wanted to talk about is there we find rest for our soul, for our emotions. The word for rest in the Greek language is anapaio, which literally means to repose or to lie down. And you remember this, I hope, from our study. It can mean to remain. It's translated take ease, take rest. But one of the things that this word means is to be exempt from. Ooh, I like that. I didn't see that until just this morning. When we are at rest in him, we can be exempt from all these things in the world that are trying to come against us. Man, I wish I'd seen that when I taught rest. That's how living this word is. And so that's what I want you to see, is that when we can enter into that rest, when we're at that point of having joy and knowing we're loved, and then we have peace, then that rest is where we can remain. A caution. How many of you have ever had something begin to trouble you and give you anguish, and maybe you prayed about it a few minutes, but then you just kind of turned away and said, okay, what can I do to get my mind off of it? But when your mind got back, what did it come right back to? I used to do that playing golf. I could have all kind of worries. I could go on the golf course, focus, concentrate. My dad was a coach, so I learned that as a young kid. I could block out things. But as soon as I walked off that golf course, before I got to the car, all those things were just piling back on me. Don't not deal with those emotions that are rising up that you know are not emotions from heaven. You got to face them. You got to be anchored like that boat in the storm that turns to it and says, you will not overcome me. I will rise above the storm, as we worshiped this morning, as we said. Now, isn't that what 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 is telling us? And so what's the precedent here? Where do we start? Therefore, humble yourselves. Isn't it interesting? Every time we turn around, the first thing we need to do to have a prosperous soul is to be humble. And humble it under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. Now, in the Old Testament, the word exalt and magnify are the same word. They're often translated one or the other. That he may exalt you or lift you up in that proper time. Verse 7, casting all your anxiety, all your cares on him. Why? And it says, because it cares for you. One translation, I think it's the Living Bible, I don't remember. One translation simply says, because it matters to me. That makes it personal. It matters to Jesus that I'm carrying this and he don't want me to. Why does it matter to him? Because he paid a big price for us to walk in that wholeness and soundness in our mind. And so when we talk about our will, verse 6 kind of took that. Humble yourselves under his hand. Submit to him. Get your will aligned to him. And then verse 7 talks about the emotions, the things that are creating emotions for us so we can live in that peace. So we talk about keep our attention on Jesus. And we say that's what Peter didn't do when he looked away from Jesus. Let me show you three verses that talk about that concept. And I won't have time to go into all the details that I probably would. But look with me at Luke, the first chapter. And we're going to look at verses 46 and 47. And then this is where Mary is with child and she comes to Elizabeth. And look at what she said. My soul magnifies the Lord. I think in saying that, she's indicating her whole being is magnifying the Lord. In 47, and my spirit, so she's making a differentiation here, has rejoiced in God my Savior. But she is saying, I ought to be worried because people are saying awful things about me. I'm pregnant without a husband. But my soul magnifies the Lord. That's what she's choosing to look at. Why? Because if she looks at those things, she sees a bigger God than she does those words that other people are speaking about her. Look at Psalm 34. And this is really a picture of our soul at work. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that's what we're studying on Sunday mornings. My soul shall make its boast in thee, Lord. And what's going to be the impact? The humble are going to hear it and joy is going to come. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Both of those words in that one sentence. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. When we magnify the Lord, the word means to make larger. How can you make the Lord larger than he already is? You can't. But when we magnify him, what are we doing? We are making him larger in my eyes. And we should never let a problem get magnified to greater size than we see the Lord God in our Jesus. Magnify the Lord with me. And when we do that, those problems won't look so very big. It's all about relationship. Mark 3. verses 13 through 15. And he went up on the mountain, and he summoned those whom he wanted, who he himself wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed the 12 so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach. And then verse 15, and to have authority to cast out the demons. This verse I've had marked in my Bible for years because I went through and marked 13 and 14 because it talked about preaching the word and healing coming. That is a great study. You'll sometimes see healing come and preaching afterwards, but those two are so entwined. It's just innumerable times. And so if I said to you, what stands out in these two verses to you? You would probably say to me, so that he could send them out to preach, and so they could cast out the demons. Go back to 13. No, excuse me. Go back to 14. And he appointed the 12 so that they would be with him. Full stop. He wanted them with him so they could learn and pick up his nature. And that desire has not changed for us. Yet, out of our desire to serve him, what do? We jump to, I want to share, I want to testify, I want to lay hands on the sick. But where does it start? Where is the rest start with his peace? Now, if you want to write down, I could give you 1 John 4:19, where he said, 14:9, where he was talking and he said, have I been with so long and yet you've not come to know me? 1 John 1:3-4 talks about who they fellowship with and they desire that we fellowship in the same way. And then Isaiah 26:3, if you'll put that one up. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace. Now let me read you another translation. You will keep him in perfect peace, him whose mind is stayed. Now if my mind is stayed on him, what's not going to be in my mind? Anxiety, fear, condemnation, anger. I'm going to have a prosperous soul. So I believe this verse could really be written and said, he with a prosperous soul, you'll keep in perfect peace. And why is that? Because we trust in him. How can we trust in him? Because we come to know him. Let me end with Philippians 4:6-7. And this, I believe, gives us some ideas of a prosperous soul. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, and here's the key point, with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, in my eyes, is the highest form of praise we can offer God. And we do it on the right side of the Red Sea. In other words, before we cross it. And then it says, let your requests be known to God. And then verse 7, and the peace of God. And the peace of God, which we can't really comprehend in our own flesh. But we can believe it. We can believe this is true. The peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. And it'll guard our spirit and our soul in Christ Jesus. This is a prosperous soul. And a prosperous soul is, I believe, is one of the key desires he has for us. Because then we will journey well. We'll prosper in everything we do, and we'll be in health because we've got that prosperous soul. You have something you want to share? Come do it, and then I'll...
Let's put Psalm 131 up. I asked Mary to put this up. It was something that the Lord put on my heart when Minton was sharing this because I feel like it really will echo something and deal with some specific issues in here. This psalm says, O Lord, my heart is not proud. Now, I don't think everybody can say that. I think everybody could probably say there's a little bit of that nasty, ugly stuff called pride in there. It's actually, in my translation, says haughty. And then it goes on to say in this translation, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or things too difficult for me. And in my translation, it says, nor do I concern myself with things that are too profound for me. What does that sound like? Worry? Anxiety, being troubled about certain things. Did you know that one of the number one ways that pride manifests itself in our souls is by taking on cares that you shouldn't be taking on? I'll handle it, Lord. I need to think about this. I need to concern myself with this. And what am I going to do? And all those different ideas. That's something that we got to look at as being an unprosperous soul. As something that we got to start restraining. And he was good enough to show us how he did that. Look at the next verse. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. He's telling you that your soul is a lot like a child, like a kid. Now, here's the deal. Some of us, if we're blessed, have infant souls, which is when the kid's real little, where they're trainable, where they're teachable. They're actually in a good place. But you know what the sad thing is? I think most of us have teenager souls. Unruly. They've gotten out there a little bit. It's hard to kind of deal with them then. Well, that's kind of where our souls have gotten. But I think even worse than that, some of us have senior souls, which is, I already know that. I've been there, done that. I'm set in my ways. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I've earned the right to do whatever I'm going to do and think whatever I'm going to think. And where am I going with this? The deal is, you've got to learn to recognize that your soul has to be put in its place. And who's going to do that? Your spirit. Amen. The part of you that God's created in his likeness and image has the ability in it to stand up and rise up and say, nope, this is what we're doing today. Amen. I'll tell you what, if I'd have let my soul have control of me today, I wouldn't be with you today. I'd have just gone back to sleep. But what do? You rise up and you know, this is what needs to be done. This is what God told me to do. And I'm going to rise up. And this is, to me, what Minton's teaching you today. It's an invaluable teaching. The step towards having a prosperous soul. Like you want your children to prosper and be in good health and all things. This is the first step. Is that you teach them, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to think. This is what we're going to say. This is how we're going to live. Amen? So learn to take control of that and say, this is the way it's going to be today. And I think that'd be a good thing.
What I was led to do, and I know we've gone a little longer, but that's okay, is for us just to have a time of quiet. And when I say quiet, I don't mean we have to be silent, but quiet in our hearts, quiet our mind. And then ask the Lord to show you, where are things that I have not turned over to you? Where are things that I haven't released to you? And seek him, and just believe as you seek him and give him those things, that there will be healing that will come to your flesh. Now, I want to tell you, the next time I teach, and I think it's in November, we're going to talk about how a prosperous soul produces hope. And the last time in December, I'm going to tell you that this is where the battle is. The devil's desire was that you not come to know Jesus. But his desire now is to damage your soul so that you cannot live the life that you've been called to live. That's where the real fight is, and we'll address that in this last session. So, let's have a time of quieting ourselves, but if you want to pray in tongues softly, if you want to worship in quietness, you know, just don't bother, don't make it about you, I'm saying. Then allow the Lord to just minister to you. And as I believe as you pray in the Spirit, he's just going to show you those things that you're praying about and let them rise up. Let you rise up and say, no more. I give that to you. I'm not going to hold on to it. I'm not going to be a fixer of what ails me. Okay? So let's just begin to worship the Lord. Sing in the Spirit. Worship. Just quiet yourself to hear his voice. There's somebody here who you've said for a while, well, I've forgiven them, but you're holding on to the hurt from that forgiveness. So release that. You don't have to identify yourself. I'm not interested in knowing. It's between you and the Lord. Let go of those things which hurt. And yeah, I'm going to even say to you, that hurt was years ago, but you talk about it today like it happened yesterday. We worship you. We magnify your name. We lift up our hands and say, you alone are our God. We make you large. You are bigger than any problem that this world could offer. You are bigger than the Middle East situation today. And I know you can handle that in my life. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Oh, we glory in you, Lord. We glory in you, Lord. We glory in you, Lord. Now, as you get these things, humble yourself now and just like give them up to him. Cast it away. There are some of you that are going to need this thing you've held on to so long, it's still going to speak to you, and it's like you need to take something. And what I told a gentleman in jail one time, and I think it can take us captive like he was held captive, I said, get a washcloth that they give you and cast it in the corner. And every time you think about that, look at it and say, I'm not coming to pick you up again. Leave it there. Leave it there in his hands. Cast all that care on him because it matters to him. Blessed be your name. I just hear the Lord saying there are some of you who want to let go of habits. And I'll use the word addictions, but I'm not just talking about alcohol or drugs. Things that you're doing that you just can't seem to quit doing. This is a good time to ask him if there's a source of that and just turn it over to him. Let him heal that. That's what an unprosperous soul does. It just, it desires beyond measure those things that would hurt and hinder us. We shout, freedom, 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 in Jesus' name. Freedom. Just declare freedom. Father, let that same spirit be pervasive as when we were worshiping earlier and your presence just came on so heavy. Fill this place. We release what's in our heart to fill this place. Peace, joy. All right, look at me a second. Now, if you receive something, then you need to be rejoicing as you leave here. If you didn't, don't go away feeling like I'm beyond help. You're not. Magnify the Lord and it will come to you. But if there's some of you who want prayer, then I'll be up front, Pastor Trey, or he'll be in front or out at the door greeting. You're welcome to ask us to pray with you because we want to offer that opportunity as well. Bless you guys. This is one of those times where I just felt like you were pulling. And it's so easy to teach the word when you have people who are hungry to hear the word, but more important, what? To hear the word so that you know him better. We love you guys, and we'll see you next Thursday.